You know, I just want to say something. I really, really, really love church. I'm not saying that because of the pastor, because I loved church long before I was ever a pastor. But I love our church right now. I feel like there's such a great attitude and so many people wanting to learn. We have so many people coming in that are brand new, and with that comes a lot of counseling and a lot of problems. And would you pray for us for that part? That we can get people to counsel people, because we have lineup in that kind of thing. And so we've been, some of us who do the counseling have been getting pretty exhausted the last few weeks. So just pray for that, and pray that people will really be able to take in the word like this morning, so that it begins to change their life. So, all right, so how are you doing on the Ephesians 1? Chapter 1 and 2, 1 through 10, how many read it at least once this week or more? Great. Great. Now, okay, what do I have to do to get the rest of you to open up your Bibles? Okay? The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me, right? It's so important that you know this stuff, and let me tell you why. When we get into counseling with people, most people are feeling insecure, or they've totally damaged their life, and Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, 1 through 10 will help stay a lot of that, because it tells you who you are. So anyhow, I'm going to encourage you each week. Pretty soon I'm going to get specific. No, I'm not going to do that, okay? We live by grace, don't we? Okay, and so grace says we can go ahead and do it, because the consequences of not doing it could be crazy. All right, let's begin our reading in our passage on Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through 7. Who reads the yellow? Okay, and I read the white, and so I'm going to read it, and how loud do you say it? Loud, you want to yell it out. Okay, so here we go. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses,
made us alive together with Christ.
By grace you have been saved,
and raised us up together,
and
made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
For the purpose that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Boy, those are great words, aren't they? We're going to be talking about the yellow words up there today. I want to really concentrate on verse 6. I'm going to be doing a little bit of teaching and then kind of draw it to a conclusion. This verse has such powerful thoughts that it's made me ponder over the years what God is really saying. And I want to break down 6 a little bit so we understand it. And it says, and raised us, okay, raised us up together. And you know what? That is a one-time shot. He doesn't keep raising us and lower us depending on our sin or our thoughts. It's the moment we believe in Jesus Christ and we put our faith in him, we are raised up to life. You realize that? We have real life, not that life that we lived. And so that's what Paul's talking about, is he's raised us up to life together. And then he has this amazing statement, and upon that same belief, has made us sit together. It really has seated us together way back at that point of salvation in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we were raised up to new life, and we were seated in heaven, in the heavenlies, and it's together, okay, with Christ. So what does seated together in the heavenlies really mean? Because we get the first half. The second half is a little kind of crazy. And so I have two questions that I would ask myself, and hopefully you're asking the same ones. Where is and what are the heavenly? I don't know whether to say is or are, because it's heavenlies, but I think the heavenlies are one sphere. And so where is or where are and what are the heavenlies? And then the second question would be this. What does it mean to be seated together with Christ in the heavenlies? So let's tackle our first question, okay? What and where are the heavenlies? So let me start by saying that no one really knows where it's at, okay? That's not the answer. I'm going to give you a little more than that, okay? But I have had that passage memorized for 40 years, When I first became a Christian, that was the very first passage I memorized from Ephesians 1 and 2, 1 through 10. And so that one kept on coming up in my mind. I couldn't wait this week to kind of study it because I've been thinking about it for 40 years, and I have some ideas about it. I have this visual picture within my head of what it means to be seated in the heavenlies, and the question is, do you want to hear it? Okay, because I could be pretty crazy. All right, okay. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. And we're going to look at a couple, and it'll be up here for you who didn't bring your Bibles, but you can start bringing them next week, okay? All right. 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand, or even probably better, the Lord is near. Now, this could be telling us right here that God is right with us, like as if there's a parallel universe. You know what I'm saying? A parallel universe where we live in this physical flesh world, and God and his host live in this spiritual world. And so it's like the best way I can describe it is an alternate universe. For instance, have any of you seen the show Fringe? Okay, now it was good, but in the second season it gets into this whole thing about how the professor understands there's a parallel universe and he crosses over and it creates, and then pretty soon the whole thing is about crossing over these two universes, parallel universes, has the same people in both universes, right? But they have a little bit different roles or different personalities and that kind of thing. And I thought, wow, that's a great picture. It's a great picture of the heavenlies, where it is this universe in which God and all the host of heaven exist. And I say that because somehow in our minds, we kind of think that God's maybe 100 light years away. And every time he hears something that's going on, then he sends a couple angels and they travel 100 light years back to earth and do their thing and then go back, okay? That, I think, is probably not only not true, but blasphemous, okay? So, just kidding. So, the word near in Philippians is agus, the Greek word, and I thought I'd go ahead. Could you run to the next slide? There we go. And it means a positive or a position relatively close to another position, meaning in location, meaning near or nearby. Okay, let me just read this from John 3:23. Now John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was much water there. And so what he's saying is Aenon is close in proximity in location to Salim. Another example of nearness would be with Jacob in the Old Testament, where he is traveling from Beersheba. He has just dogged his brother, taken away his birthright, and his brother says, I'm going to kill that kid. And that's where Israel comes from. Isn't that great that we have, you know, there's that heritage. But anyhow, he's going to travel all the way up to Haran in Syria to family members to see if he can find a wife and stay there for a while till his brother cools off. So we pick up in Genesis 28, starting with verse 10, and it says, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of those stones of that place and put it on his head, or put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Now that's what I call the hard pillow, right? Then he dreamed, and in the Old Testament, when it records dreams, they're really visions, okay? Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there were angels of God, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, the ladder, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father. Now, I don't think he was going, hey, Jacob, you know, because he was so far distance. He was just seemed to be talking. He said, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And when he talks about the gate of heaven, in those days, they would have a city and it would be walled, and there would be a single gate that you could get in. That's the only way you could get in. And so when he talks about the gate, he's talking about the front door, okay, the front door of heaven. And so we get to verse 18, and then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. Now, Bethel in Hebrew would be Bet-El, which means Bet means the house of, El is God. So it's the house of God. So we look at it and we realize, okay, Jacob has this vision and he sees into this alternate universe, so to speak, and he sees these angels coming up and going down, and then God talks to him out of it. So I think one of the things we can say is somehow God is right here, and we've said all those words before, haven't we? Well, God's right here and he can see my heart and that kind of thing. We don't realize he's right here. And we always think, well, maybe he's up high enough, he didn't see what I did there. You know, and that's probably not true. You know, he's right here. And so the question is, now we see that he's near. Now, where are the heavenly, we can get to the question, where are the heavenlies located? All right. And so the next question is, what are the heavenlies? So I need you to go to Ephesians chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, starting with verse 10. We've gone over this a few weeks ago. We're going from 10 through to 12. And it really talks about the heaven, who's in the heavenly places, all right? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Where? In the heavenly places. Oh, okay. So not only do we have God and his angels in the heavenly places, but we have Satan and his angels and all the workers of evil who work their evil on this planet. And when it talks about Satan, he talks about he's the prince of the power of the air. And the word they use for air is our atmosphere right here. Okay. And so that's where all of the spiritual realm is. They're physical, but they're not flesh and blood, Paul says. And see, the only thing that you and I can do is fight flesh and blood, and we don't know how to do that. So he gives us the tools of the armor, and we are to stand. We're not to charge out and try to fight them. We don't even know what we're fighting. But we're to stand, okay? And so it's where God exists, it's where Satan exists, and both leagues of angels, the darkness, the wickedness, and the fact is, you are seated there, and I'm seated there, but we're standing here, you're seated, I'm standing here. And we're seated in God's realm, and we are seated together next to Christ. And yet we're still in this world. Now, do you understand why sometimes I've gotten up here and I said I kind of feel schizophrenic? Do you see why now? Because we are seated in the heavenlies. We are there already with Christ, and yet we are here. And so a portion of us is seated there in their realm, and a portion is here. And so I want to clarify by going to Colossians 1:3, and then I want to make some application. It's another passage that parallels this same thing, and I believe it'll help us to understand better. Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 1. This is a great passage. If then you were raised, and then they didn't put in the together, it should be in there. If then you were raised together with Christ, and were we raised together with Christ? Yes, if you know Jesus Christ and you have a relationship with him, you were raised together with Christ. Seek. And when the Bible uses this word seek, it means to unfasten and unloosen your eyes and look up. Look up. A lot of times we're looking down at our shoes. You know, it's kind of like, oh, I'm filled with shame and that kind of thing. And Paul's saying, no, look up, look up. So it says, if you then be raised with Christ, look up to those things which are above, where Christ sits, is sitting at the right hand of God. Look up to all that God has blessed us with. He's blessed us with all these different blessings that we've read in Ephesians, and we're in His glory. And then he gets to verse 2 and he says, and set your mind, and it's the same word of unfastening and loosing up your mind, on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, past tense, and your life has been hidden and still presently is hidden with Christ in God. Now, the reason I say that is because we don't have a verb that tells us that in English. We have present tense, and we have past tense, and we have future. Well, the original language has what's called the perfect tense, and it means that it took place in the past, and it still has present consequences. It's still going on, and that's what this one is. And I love that concept. I wish we had in English. For you died, and your life was and still is hidden together. They didn't put that in either. Hidden together with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will appear or be revealed and made clear with Him in glory. Isn't that kind of neat to think about? That not only are we sitting with Him, but we're hid in Him. Nobody can get to us in that part. And so I look at that and I think, okay, here's the application, all right? So what does all this mean? We are clearly already seated with Christ in heaven. Amen? Okay, we get that. But we clearly remain here to fight the good fight for Christ. And so there is this place waiting in heaven for us, that we are here in this physical body, that we will combine with us in this alternate universe, so to speak, with Christ. Now, let me see if I can explain it from an illustration. I remember when I was 9 years old, my parents had put me in a Christian school, and I was getting kind of behind, so I was doing the third grade again. Did you catch that? Okay. See, for all you guys that flunked, you can still get a doctor's degree. Okay, I just want you to know that. Okay. So anyhow, I was 9 years old and we were going to this Christian school, and so one of the teachers became very good friends with my parents, and they invited us over for dinner. Now, there were three of us, and I know you're not going to believe this, but I was really shy when I was young. Okay. And so we went over to this house, and the lady was preparing the dining room table and putting everything on, and she and my mom were talking, and her husband and my dad were talking, and the girls were standing around. And so finally, the woman says, okay, let's all be seated because we're going to eat dinner now. And so everybody sat down at the table, but I just stood in the doorway of the dining room, and shyly, and I kind of, I don't know what I was thinking. I kind of felt like I wasn't a part of it. You ever felt that way at times? And I'm looking, and I'm seeing them all sit down there talking. And finally, the lady looks up to me and says, Steve, come sit down and come sit next to me. And she had this place, and so I sat down next to her, and she put her arm around me. And somehow, that memory has stuck through my life. All my life, I remember that because I felt so included. Do you know what I'm saying? It's that inclusion feeling. And so she put her arm around me and she said, I just wanted you to sit next to me. And then they prayed for the food and we ate. And then I totally engaged with them. And I look back at that story because I think that's what God is saying. He seated us together at the table. He seated us. It's not shy time. It's not looking at the shoe time. It's looking up. He's sat us next to Him, and He's put our arm around us, and He's hidden us up there. And when we look at it, we think, okay, we don't quite get it. It does make us feel a little schizophrenic because we're there, but we're here, but we're there, but we're here. Well, my friends, you are seated with Christ. You are not standing in the doorway. You're not outside looking in through the windows. You're seated next to Jesus Christ. Now, doesn't that feel a little good? Yeah. It's a sense of honor and a sense of permanency. A sense of totally being included. And you know what? You need to feel that because God has asked you and I to do some things in this life, on this side of the alternate universe in our life. And he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. In other words, we are to ask people and tell them, you need to be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin, being Christ, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And we have become the righteousness of God when we put our faith and trust him. Now, what's an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who goes from a nation to another nation, and they represent their nation, right? And so he's called us to do that. Where is our citizenship, my friends? In heaven. If we read in Colossians a little farther, it tells us that we're citizens of heaven. And so we are sent here. The moment we've put our faith and trust in Christ, we are sent back here, so to speak, to represent God as an ambassador. And we are to represent our King. Now I want you to think about this, because Hebrews 11 talks about this, and he talks about Adam and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab and all these different players who had faith in God, and they were ambassadors. And we get to the place in our church and we think about Desiree Darling, who's gone on, or Shirley Davis or Ronnie Roy or Jack Walker or George Shull or Al and Lorraine Haas, Jay Barton, Joe Turney, Lloyd Hesser, Joe Ritchie, Mike Petrie, Patty Eaton's, Peggy Seelock, and the list goes on of the people who, since we've been a church for 20 years, we've lost to the other side. And now they're fully, fully seated with Christ. And they were ambassadors. Every one of those talked about Christ. Every one of those had influence with other people in their life. These all died having faith, Hebrews says, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them and for us. That's why we are in the world, but God says we don't need to be of the world. Because, Christian, we have to remember who we are, what God has made us to be, and what our calling is, what our job is. And our job as a group is to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Amen? To represent our King here on this earth. And when we remember that, it's pretty easy not to get goofed up. It's when we forget that we get entangled into the world. All of a sudden we forget we're representing the heavenlies, where God is. And so the question this morning I have for you is, how are we doing? How are we doing as ambassadors? Are we participating in God's work in whatever way we can, because we have been sent? Are we steering clear of the entrapments, or are we getting tangled in the world and getting so goofed up we forget who we are? We have been seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenlies. He has hidden us in his life until that day that we all enter glory together. And in the meantime, we are representatives of Jesus Christ here. So shouldn't we live like it? Shouldn't we live like it? Father, we come this morning really understanding, Lord, I think we have a glimpse of what our job really is. Lord, in your realm where you are fighting evil and evil's fighting good and all that battle is going on and we just really have very little to no idea what that means. Other than that, you told us to stand and understand who we are. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that we will begin to really meditate on Ephesians 1, 2, 1 through 10. We will remember who we are in Jesus Christ. We will remember that we are His ambassadors, His representatives from heaven here. That we might be able to win people to Jesus Christ, that we might be able to help people and assist them and coach them in changing their lives. And Lord, may we do exactly what you ask us to do. Because that's our job as an ambassador. And so Lord, please grow in our hearts what it is in each individual's heart, what they are to do to represent you.